After years of watching its political influence decline, the AFL-CIO has launched a campaign to make the Labour vote a major factor in November. Heavy election year spending by unions is not new, but this year's strategy is, instead of simply contributing to individual candidates, the AFL-CIO will spend $35 million reaching out to the rank and file, trying to convince workers that the debates going on in Washington really can affect their everyday lives. NPR's Kathleen Schalk has this report.
On a windy spring day on Cleveland's west side, about 50 union members and officials mill around in front of the headquarters of Congressman Martin Hoke.
Come on over in here. Yeah, bring your signs.
Local AFL-CIO officials Richard Acton and Frank Valenta produce a large cardboard placard with the words Congressional Report Card Martin Hoke printed across the top. Beneath that are headings like Narrowing the Wage Gap and Standing Up for Families and Seniors.
I'm Gladys Lipo, United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 880, retired. Most of us who are retired.
One by one, members of the group come forward to grade Hoke on each of these issues.
Congress. The hard truth Hoke won't admit is that you cut programs working people and retired Americans depend on. You are hurting real people. That's why Hoke's vote last year earned him a richly deserved F.
Yay!
Hoke, a sophomore Republican, gets all Fs. He's not there to see his report card, but the union is making sure area voters will hear about it. All week long, radio stations are running ads like these.
Truth is, our congressman actually voted to block a minimum wage increase. That's after he voted to cut Medicare and cut college loans, all to give a big tax break to corporations and the rich.
The national AFL-CIO expects to spend $20 million on such media buys and another $15 million training local union activists, according to Clarence Frost, a regional director for the organization's Committee on Political Education.
We usually blanket the media market pretty good. Then we'll start our leafleting on the jobs.
The AFL-CIO hopes to unseat 75 House members, most of them freshman Republicans, in districts like Congressman Hoke's, with lots of unionized industries and a history of voting Democratic. Rather than campaigning directly for Hoke's challenger, former Cleveland Mayor Dennis Kucinich, it will use the money to talk about issues. The new strategy emerged from the ashes of the 1992 election. That year, nearly all Labor-endorsed candidates were Democrats, but 40% of the rank-and-file voted Republican. As Clarence Frost explains, the AFL-CIO commissioned focus groups to find out why.
We learned that our union members are like everyone else. They don't want to be told who to vote for. That don't work anymore. They want to be given reasons to vote for or against someone. And so that's what we're trying to do now.
That night, union officials representing everyone from grocery store clerks to structural and ornamental iron workers gather in the basement of the Cleveland AFL-CIO building for their regular monthly meeting. After the pledge and the swearing-in of new members, Clarence Frost asks them to distribute copies of Congressman Hoke's report card.
You and I know the issues, but in order for us to be successful, our membership has to get this information, and they need to get it now.
Next, local AFL-CIO President Frank Valenta exhorts the group to remember what is at stake.
We have no respect with the right wing that's in control of Congress today. No respect at all. And we're going to deliver here in the state of Ohio as far as Cuyahoga County is concerned. Am I right, brothers and sisters? Are we going to deliver here? Are we going to deliver?
Members of the audience say workers who hear about Republican efforts to roll back long-standing laws on overtime, workplace safety, and construction wages are frightened, and that other issues like gun control or gays in the military are going to pale in comparison. Mike Murphy is president of the Services Employees International Union, Local 47.
You don't have to tell workers if they're not doing well. They know that. And they're starting to realize it starts at the ballot box, and it's a slow process. But we're getting there. We'll be there by November.
But the AFL-CIO's pollsters have pointed out that reviving a labor voting bloc will be tricky. While many trade unionists feel economically insecure, few link economic issues and politics. Nearly half don't think either party represents their interests. The majority are turned off by anything that sounds like a partisan appeal, and most don't follow the legislative debates in Washington.
Senior agent. Yeah. Hey,
The next morning, as union officials and volunteers distribute Congressman Hoke's report card, they come face to face with these trends.
I have a couple more.
Dave needs some.
We can split up.
Yeah.
Someone want to go with Don?
Before dawn, one group gathers near the entrance to an old brick factory with huge square windows and a water tower perched on top. Employees here make suits and are in a hurry to punch in.
It's the guy you shouldn't vote for, that's what it is.
All right, I'm going to read it at home, and I give you my opinion, okay?
Ilda Coagahazy, who sews buttonholes into pants, is one of the few workers who will stop and talk about politics. Coagahazy voted for Hoke, she says, although she hasn't followed what he's been doing on Capitol Hill. She thinks the economy is the single most important issue, but she doesn't believe it matters which party is in power.
I don't think they really care. You know, they promise you really everything, and when they get in there, they don't really do what they promise to the people. I'm telling you the truth, I'm a little bit disappointed with the whole thing, and I'm thinking about it, you know, not exercise my voting rights and don't go to vote this year.
Of the three other workers who stopped to talk, one plans to vote Republican, one will vote for the Socialist Workers Party, and one expects to vote Democratic. Union officials admit they have a lot of minds to change before November. This is Kathleen Schalk reporting.